All right, guys, best things. I want to hear them.
I got to see Prince this past weekend.
Oh, yeah, at Paisley Park. I heard all about that show.
It was... So FKA Twigs,
yeah,
musician, artist. She played
We've talked about her
on the show. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Super cool show at Paisley Park. And then these, like, humongous floor-to-ceiling doors open, and then it was this a huge room, like, other room, and there was lights and fog and a whole band set up on stage. And then he came out, and I literally had the thought... This is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And that, like, loop has been playing in my head. And it was just, oh, man.
Yeah.
And no words. Just insane.
I went to the second Paisley Park sleepover.
Awesome.
Where they didn't say, like, Prince will be playing. But, like, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. And he wasn't playing at the first one. But he did play at the second one. And I had that same thought. Like, they played this really weird music that was really annoying. Anyway, so he comes up, and I had that same thought that was like, wow, that 30 minutes of really terrible music was totally worth it because Prince is in front of me.
Mm. I didn't have the 30 minutes of awful music.
Well, because they said Prince was going to be playing, right?
No, no.
That's awesome. Mm.
Yeah, so we just went out there for the show,
the FKA
Twigs show,
yeah.
And then the
surprise
CD
Prince.
Parted, and it was
nice.
It was awesome.
How close were you to the stage?
Well, so there was only maybe like 150 people there, so I was maybe like four rows back, and I was in the back
row.
Room.
Yeah,
because Paisley parties don't really get that many people.
And
do
it
they?
Was snowing and freezing, so
yeah.
It was, you know, it took us an hour and a half to get out to Chan House.
Night.
Yeah, and yeah. I had like a tiny little Volkswagen, and it was terrifying, but so worth it. So
very
anyway,
nice.
Anyway, what's your best thing, Alex?
I'm gonna go ahead and say, you know, in a previous episode we talked about volunteering, how, you know, you can volunteer sometimes and it feels good, and you kind of forget that. I hadn't donated any money to anything in a while, but it was Give to the Max Day recently, and you know, we all work or have worked in nonprofit. So I gave some money to a startup student press at Augsburg College and to the dog rescue website that I spend all my time on at work. Sorry, bosses. Those cute little pups needed money for food and things.
You're
so I gave them some money.
Human.
Dollars for doggies.
I felt a little weird giving money to the people because I'm not convinced that people deserve the help, but the dogs totally do. The dogs, like, need our assistance, so keep going, dogs. What about you, Shelby?
My best thing was I was at a gala for a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. We were making money, and one of the entertainment acts at the gala was an artist who took toilet paper around the space and danced with it above his head, unrolling it in the space butt-ass naked, which was pretty funny and it really entertaining. Like, they did the job, you know, like they were entertainment
memorable.
And it was entertaining.
Where do you look? I would get so confused. I would
anywhere
do well with
was
that.
It,
toilet paper
was it tickle torture
body it doesn't matter
but.
Hi Mai.
Yeah. Okay. Huh.
Yeah.
Well, that's new.
It was a time.
That does sound like a best thing, though.
It was the best thing.
On the definition of
it was
best
the best thing.
So. I've been told that I'm very good at segues, so here's my good segue. Shelby, what do you want to talk about this week?
You know, I'm thinking we're going to talk about the internet, life without it, life with it.
I'm scared to just think about it, not having it. Tess, let's rap. What are we rapping about?
I'm thinking, Shelby liked that one. I'm thinking cult classics this week. I recently saw Wayne's World, and it had me thinking all about what that is and what's next for our generation.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to it. We're popping till we dropping.
Drop that beat, Alex.
Just like, I can freestyle. It's fine.
Last week I saw Wayne's World for the first time.
Good night and party on!
Party on, Wayne!
Party on, Garth.
It's Wayne's World! Wayne's World! Party time! Excellent!
First of all, it's super funny. Like, it's a really good movie.
Missing out your whole life.
I know. I went 23 years without seeing this movie that apparently tons of quotes are from, like, mm-hmm. all of these things.
Yeah, is it like totally, or like, isn't that
the I'm having a great time?
That and like the swing thing, like swing, did yeah. not know, like everyone says it in high school, no idea what anyone's talking about. Now it's all coming together. Mm-hmm. But it kind of had me thinking, like, what's next for cult classics? Are there any from our generation or the generation after us? Will they look back at our movies, or are they going to take the ones from the 80s? You know, like, are we establishing any of that cult classic culture now?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think we totally are. Like, when you talked about that a little bit earlier ago, like, immediately I thought of Juno and I thought of Napoleon Dynamite, which, mm-hmm. granted, like, mm-hmm. aren't recent. Like, those aren't movies that have been recently made. But I think that, you know, it takes, like, a couple years for a cult classic to kind of emerge and, like, be that movie that people kind of reference for several years, mm-hmm. and then it kind of dies. Like, mm-hmm. nobody's talked about Juno or Napoleon Dynamite for at least like 4 years, 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, 15 years from now, 20 years from now, people will look back and be like, what is this? And it'll be this hilarious cult classic.
Yeah, I think viral videos will also play a part. Oh. Like, every once in a while, you know, you'll just be watching YouTube videos and all of a sudden you'll remember something yeah. from like 2008.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like
yeah,
really yeah. early viral videos, and you'll go back and watch your old favorites.
I wonder if they'll make like a movie like, yeah. of viral videos.
They should make like a 5-year reunion, or, you know, like,
hey, yeah.
and, like, take all the best ones.
I would totally watch that. I yeah. would pay money.
They should have that
to
at the
go
Walker,
to a theater to
like,
watch
with
that.
A screening.
Oh,
or
man.
Just gave them a really good idea.
Yeah, you totally did.
Damn.
Don't publish this.
Royalties.
Oh, man. I guess, okay, so then what makes up a cult classic then? Like, if Juno has it and Napoleon
right.
Dynamite
well,
has
I
it.
I think it's
what,
just, like, being really, like, weird, right? I think it's being not like any other movie that was made that year.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
I think it depends on what you're... I think cult classics strike you at, like, a meaningful time in your life, and it kind of depends on what you're looking for. Some cult classics are, like... you're really into cheesy horror movies and you see like the cheesiest horror movie and then that becomes a cult classic for you. And sometimes it's like...
Wait, so you're talking about cult classics on a personal level?
Yeah. I mean, it takes a viewer, a group of viewers to get together and say like this movie is special. You know, it's not like, you know, mass culture is saying to someone that it's all of a sudden... this is your cult classic movie. It takes a bunch of like dedicated viewers who are
right.
all watching sort of in their homes
I
to
know
get
this
together.
Kind of sounds like bad, but I just had the thought that I feel like all cult classics are movies that people watch when they're high.
Mm.
Like, mm-hmm. like
I, yeah,
all of them, right? Like, and then like they're funny because you're high. Like, I don't know. It's okay to talk. I don't know.
It's not Colorado Public Radio.
It's not
okay,
Colorado. Not that I'm condoning any illegal activities. It's
there we
just
go.
I feel like, because I'm not, but I'm just saying, like,
I would not disagree. I would
right?
not disagree.
Yeah.
yeah.
And, like, I thought Wayne's World was super funny, but I could see how that movie would be much funnier if mm-hmm. someone happened to be under the influence of anything.
Right, yeah. So
yes.
why is that a cult classic now? Is it like the popular movies from the 80s are our cult classics? Because in
know.
That case, I want to take back what I said about Juno and Napoleon Dynamite and have it be like,
I think
she's the man. Oh, Mean Girls, another cult classic, another huge, that's going to be huge.
I think, and I'm trying to think of what make something cult classic retroactively. Is it like
right.
you rediscover it? Because certainly,
right.
you know, we all remember watching these movies for the first
well,
time.
Well, is The Breakfast Club a cult classic?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, all that whole series of movies.
And people always say that cult classics were unpopular for some reason, but they are really popular.
They are popular,
like
yeah.
The Room is a really popular movie, even though it's terrible and it made no money originally.
And
like,
The Big Lebowski, like,
yeah.
is
yeah.
incredibly
so
popular.
Maybe cult classics are good, well-produced movies that are, like, 20 years old.
That's a possibility.
Like, I mean, they were produced well for that time, and then right. now the technology yeah, has changed yeah. so much.
And forgotten for a while. Like, the right, act of yeah. rediscovery contributes to it. It's, you know, Freaks and Geeks. And Arrested Development, too, was a
yeah,
cult classic.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, yeah. I think television has changed a lot of maybe the cult classic movie thing because there's such good TV now, and people yeah. get so attached to the characters. I also think a huge part of cult classics is good one-liners, right? It's like mm-hmm. things that people oh, can yeah. quote super easily, mm-hmm. and then you're like mm-hmm. a part of this crew. Then you're a part of the cult, right? If you can quote it, and you can quote it, and then right. someone knows what you're talking about, like mm-hmm. then you're all a part of it, and yeah. like, that creates the culture.
That yeah. is the cult.
So the culture,
the cult.
Wow. Classic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
I wonder if there's a cult around the band The Cult.
Oh, there's got
to
be.
Cults. I was yeah. listening to them
cults,
today.
Cults? Yeah. 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 Oh, yeah.
I don't see. Maybe cults will wind up being a cult a classic.
Sorry.
A cult classic band because, you know, they might.
Their name?
Well, they might not come back with another record. You know,
I know.
What I'm saying?
Like, I was
they
thinking disappeared. About that today. It was like, I could use another cult album.
Will the hype cycle treat them as kindly the second time around, or will
Doubt
their
it.
First record become
be like a
cult classic?
Yeah, yeah. they're going to be like a Sleigh Bells where
well,
someone gets...
Yeah, especially because they can't really make their sound different unless mm-hmm. they make it totally different, unless it's totally different.
Yeah, you know? But, you know, Best Coast's second album sounded exactly the same as the first. And
they did really well.
Yeah, no one cares. Well, yeah. it's like it's that sound, and you expect that yeah. from the
is,
band. Yeah.
Is indie rock made up entirely of cult classics, except for like a master class of like, I don't know, who you would, the New Pornographers or something, bands that have like risen above the Strokes, you know, who have risen above this
I
whole pack
I feel
like pack
those
of, like,
are the cult classics.
Yeah, they will
in,
become
in
the 20, cult
okay,
classics.
Julian
20
Casablancas
years.
Is the cult classic, yeah. right? Like Alex Turner, he is the cult classic. Like
okay.
those, yeah. that's it.
But they're popular at the moment. Like they have to be forgotten before they can become a cult classic.
But I feel like they've had such a tenure of production where it's like, that's not going away. Mm. But you think they need to have like a 10-year rehab stint?
But
and then,
I don't.
Like,
I don't know.
Or...
I don't know if can a person be a cult
like,
classic, or does it have to be an item? You know, is it like
it's
movies
a noun.
And records?
It's a noun. Person, okay. place, or thing.
Okay.
No, ooh. I don't. Place
really?
Would be hard. No,
person, person, person can be a cult classic.
If
I disagree.
We're talking about musicians, right?
I disagree.
You don't think a musician
think,
can be a cult classic?
I think
classic?
A
record.
Yeah, I think a record. I think a band.
Mm.
Oh, a band could be, but like
I think
one
maybe
person.
A band, but not the person. I'm not really sure. And like, I kind of take that back. Like, I wouldn't, like, I would never say, like, you know, Journey, what a cult classic. You
that's
know
just
what I mean?
A classic.
I mean, but that's not a cult classic. Yeah, like that was a bad
that's
example.
Just downright classic.
I wonder. But, so did cult classics start? FOMO, essentially. We always return to FOMO, but it's
you
but,
always
but,
return to FOMO,
but, ma'am. But you describe. You, so you're talking about you felt not necessarily left out, but you didn't know what people were talking about, and now you
no,
do.
Dude.
It was almost like I had this, like someone knocked me upside the head and was like, "This is what people meant for the last 23 years."
All these
like,
things make sense.
All of these things make sense now, and it's I. Not that I, you know, I didn't know I was missing out, so I didn't have like mm-hmm. FOMO by any means, but like
you were confused.
I was no, because I didn't even it didn't even cross my mind
can,
that I was missing out on something.
Yeah,
okay. It's just
you
like
can
that
get
happens.
Those jokes,
whatever.
You know, like, the things that people say that reference Wayne's World are funny without the reference.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I think the reverse to that, because like I watched Wayne's World when I was like 12 or mm-hmm. 13. I don't know, too young to watch Wayne's World because I was like goody two shoes, didn't get it, thought they were dumb, didn't know why they didn't get A's. And my friend was way cooler than me, and she wanted to watch it. So I watched it with mm-hmm. her and, like, didn't get it. So, like, I still walk around not really knowing what those references are because I watched it and mm-hmm. I didn't get it. And so I don't feel like I need to watch it again, but clearly I do.
You would pick up, you
I
would pick up
know.
New things.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would pick up probably everything about that movie that's funny.
Sure. And on repeat viewing, too, you would pick up even more.
Yeah.
I think part of cult classics yes. is that they continue to reveal themselves
oh, yeah.
as you interact with them.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
repetitively.
Definitely. That's yeah. like a must for a cult
I'm trying
classic.
To, there's some movie, there's one movie in particular, and I can't remember for the life of me what it is, but every time I watch it, there's something hilarious that surfaces.
Is
that
it Clueless?
I'm not thinking of Clueless, but that's a good example.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
The other thing, okay. The other thing about Wayne's World is that my mom, when she was 20, looked exactly like Cassandra. Like, identical. And I was, like, so surprised that no one had told me that. And then I saw the movie and I was like, that's my mom. Like, how did my mom get on the TV? And why didn't anyone tell me my mom is a movie star? Like, my mom was super hot. Well, she's still pretty hot. But anyway, it's like, it's just crazy. And I was like, I just cannot believe just everything. I cannot believe I hadn't seen that movie for 23 years.
I feel the same way about a lot of Chris Farley movies, which was...
I've never seen a Chris Farley.
Which was weird being teen boy who didn't get Chris Farley references in southern Minnesota, which in the mid-2000s was basically 1998.
Yeah.
It just was strange, you know? Like, the people would be making all these jokes, and of course I had seen... I don't even know what I would have seen. The classic, like, Matt Foley, SNL... Van Down by the River.
Sketch. Under the bridge.
I'd seen that, but like no Chris Farley movies. So people would be quoting Black Sheep and Tommy Boy and all these, you know, I've seen them now. They're really funny. But at the time I was just like, I can't help you with this joke because I don't know what you're saying to me.
Dude, my parents still make that joke in the kitchen when I come home. Like, Shelby, how's that degree treating you? You living down by the river, under the bridge?
Down by the river. Oh,
no.
Boy.
See, I'm feeling so left out right now because I have literally no idea what you guys are talking about. And everyone in this room is in this cult.
Dude, FOMO.
And here I am over here.
Yeah.
Thanks
a lot. Do you have FOMO right now?
I have so much FOMO right now. I'm like sweating. I can't even handle it.
Actually, it wouldn't really be fear of missing out.
It's just missing out. It's just the reality of the situation.
You've got some Mo.
You're Mo.
I'll just go.
Can you imagine, and this might creep you out a little bit, but can you imagine life without the internet at home? Like you opened your computer and you opened a browser and it said, no internet, and you had nothing to do. Can you imagine that? I can't. I've never done it.
I think that we both could.
We've both done
Tess,
that.
Tess
You've
and
done
I
it.
Could.
How did you? Worst. Okay. Shelby, how long did you live without internet?
In my last apartment, I just never got internet. Like when I lived there, from beginning to end of lease, I didn't get internet because I didn't want to pay for it.
Fair enough. So internet is expensive.
It is expensive. It was like $60 a month.
It's
no
a lot
thanks.
To pay for something that you cannot see. You know, it's not
I
like
I can't hold it.
It's not like you're paying for water. You know, you're paying for internet.
Okay, I have a question. Did you? Sorry.
No.
Yell at you across the room. So did you go to coffee shops a lot to get internet?
Kind of. I mean, like, I went to work every day. You know, I, like, woke up in the morning and I went to work every day. And then I came back from work at, like, 4, 6, or 7 p.m. And then, you know, did my business. Made dinner. I read a book. Honestly, like, and I thought about this past week when I was walking around my apartment, bumming, like, hard, bumming because I just like had Netflix open, like just like that's what I was doing, like I was a bum the whole day because I woke up and I opened Netflix and I watched Netflix and I ate and then I watched some more Netflix and then I took a nap and then I woke up and I watched Netflix because I have Wi-Fi in my apartment and like I don't think I want it. I think I want to go back to not having it because when I didn't have Wi-Fi, like granted, like again, like I went to work every day so I had Wi-Fi
sure.
like every day for 8 hours or more than that, and that's way more than enough time for internet time. And I would get home and like I had to read or I had to go to a coffee shop. If I really needed to use internet, I had to go. Like I had to leave my house.
Well, what I was thinking is that like, so I didn't have internet for 20 days because I Comcast and CenturyLink and whatever, but
it's hard to set up
and very
that's actually why we never got it.
That's what I was
like,
gonna ask.
Tried,
like,
yeah,
you probably just got lazy.
We tried to do it, and after 5 minutes of trying to plug the cords in, I got bored and left.
No,
and never
I was
did it.
Literally trying to put the round cable thing into the square phone jack for about 10 days before I realized, no, my dad was like, Tess, you have got to be kidding me. Because he was like, you are literally trying to put a round peg into
a
square hole for
nice.
About 10 days. And I was like, oh, we don't have cable. I guess I need to call the CenturyLink,
sure,
whatever.
Sure.
But like, so I would have to go to coffee shops every day to get work done or to send emails, whatever. And so I would spend $5 to $10 on stuff
right,
there.
Yeah.
And like I have far exceeded any internet expense right, that I would yeah. ever have had
right.
being at yeah. this coffee shop. And
it
then
depends,
you know, like chatting with
it
friends.
It depends on like what you need it for. Cause like now, over the summer, so when I moved into my new apartment, I thought about not getting internet. I was like, God, you know, maybe I just shouldn't do it. But for the course of the summer, I worked from home.
Mm.
So I had to, yeah, wake up and go to a coffee shop for, yeah, 5 to 6 hours or more than that every day. So mm-hmm. I'm spending, you know, coffee. I buy $2 to $5 coffee. I buy my breakfast there.
A snack.
I buy lunch
yeah.
there.
Right.
A snack, another coffee. I mean, like, God, walk out, spend $25. Like,
as soon as you got internet, they were probably so sad to see you go.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, they
you paid
bummed
for,
me. I was besties with all of them.
Kept
yeah.
the lights
no,
on.
They probably hated me. They probably hate every person who comes in and like
sits
uses their coffee
hours.
Shop as an office. Yeah,
I know. I was thinking that coffee shops might just have like the. Like, it's like the worst investment. Like, people come and buy a $1 coffee and then sit in your retail
space. Well, that's
space
why the
for
coffees
hours.
Are all like $2.50 now.
Yeah, but
I wonder,
still, it's like you're renting this.
Yeah, space. I mean, it's still not a lot, sure. but like, you know.
I wonder if the economics of coffee shops have changed in the last 5 years. Like, I distinctly can say I pay probably a dollar or two more per drink for the same drink than I did 2 or 3 years
oh,
ago.
Oh, yeah.
And I wonder if it's because easily. They're charging you for the fact that, you know, they
absolutely.
Know that you're going to sit there.
Probably.
And
for
waste space.
25 hours.
And mm-hmm. also, I think it's just like the upcharge of like coffee in general. I mean, coffee is just more of a commodity.
Sure.
So I think that that has a
so
lot
you
of
guys,
commodity.
So you guys have... You guys
hey,
have
hey, hey.
Nice. Nice.
Good one.
Ooh. I'm blown
you stopped
away.
The show.
I'm blown
I'm embarrassed
away
about the things that are flying out of my mouth today. Oh, man.
So you lived without internet for a year. Tess,
oh, yeah.
you lived without internet for 20 days.
Longest 20 days of
did
my
you
life.
Ever find your... See, you didn't like it.
I hated it. Well,
I mean, you also only went 20 days without internet.
So you're
so
saying
like,
that like
you,
I'm not that great.
You were in the... No, I'm saying you're in the you were in the phase of thinking you should have internet.
I was going to get it. Right.
Right.
And I was waiting
yeah.
to get it.
See, I like the first mm-hmm. 20 days, first 2 months sucks. I mean, I went home and I was like, where's my Netflix?
Yeah.
yeah.
This
what
sucks.
Is there to
where's
do?
My Facebook?
That's the, yeah.
Sucks. But like then I accepted like I'm not going to have internet. I'm not
so,
going to have internet.
Did
now.
You did you ever make excuses to leave the home in order to go somewhere with internet?
All the time. Like, I went to the gym to use the internet. Like in order to watch Netflix, I had to go to the gym because they
did you
had
work
Wi-Fi.
Out? Did you work out?
Yeah, I would okay. go on the treadmill.
That,
well,
that
you can't
is smart,
go to,
though.
Yeah, no, it was great.
You
it was so great.
You weren't like sitting in the...
Now I go home and I lay in my yeah. bed and I watch Netflix
you
for hours
like,
on end.
Yeah, you weren't like sitting in the lobby watching Netflix.
Yeah.
Like you scan in and then you go
did,
sit behind
did,
the counter.
I did do that once.
She did that.
Oh, my word.
And I felt really, really bad and never did it again.
I had, so I knew that I was going to have issues setting up the internet because that's how that happens for me. And so I went to my folks' house and gathered a few DVDs because I knew that I was going to need some alternative entertainment without the internet. So I like preemptively planned this whole thing, right? So I grabbed season 5 of Sex and the City, season 1 of Entourage, the movie Old School, the movie Zoolander, and the movie Blow. Okay.
Zoolander is a cult classic.
Zoolander is
oh,
a cult classic.
It is.
We should have talked about that. Well, we'll talk about it now. There it is. fine. I'm so giggly today. My goodness. Okay. So I watched season 5 of Sex and the City maybe like 7 times through, and the season 1 of Entourage maybe 5 times through mm-hmm. before I got so sick of E and Turtle. Anyway, and like, I literally cannot go a day without watching something on a computer. Like, I don't know. And I had to watch them, like, every day, every night. And so then I finally, 3 nights ago, I was down to my last movie, right? I had Blow. And I was like, okay, like, this is it. Hopefully we'll get internet tomorrow.
In a context-free situation, I had Blow was
the
like
movie
a-
Blow. I talked about, like, drugs so much today,
kind of podcast.
I swear. Yeah, I'm not condoning drugs. Okay. Anyway. And so I watched Blow, and then it was like 10 o'clock, and I was like, well, I guess I'll go to bed. Like, I finished my book. I finished the movie, Blow, and I went to bed, and I woke up, and the CenturyLink guy came, set up our internet, and I felt so relieved. And then I was, like, on the ground looking for something that I had dropped, and there was a whole bucket of DVDs that my
oh.
roommate had brought. And I had watched Sex and the City all of season 5, like,
man.
7 times through. And I knocked it. I was like, Brittany, have these always been here? She's like, uh-huh. Like, oh, my
Brittany.
God. Britt. And, yeah. So that was, I had to proactively fight against not having internet.
Sure.
Yeah.
My best friend is currently living without internet for the last year or so, actually.
On purpose? Or because he couldn't figure it out?
Both, kind of. Like, yeah. It started with, no offense, Phil, it started with not being able to figure it out, and also Comcast being difficult,
truly,
and then kind of resigning yourself to a future without internet.
Everyone I have ever talked to who does not have internet has never done it because they wanted to. Like, they never thought, you know what I should do? Not have internet. No. They always thought, oh, fuck, this internet bill's really expensive. Or they thought, forget Comcast. I'm done. I can't figure it out. I'm done. And then, they resign themselves to no internet.
Yeah.
Because it just is too, it's too hard.
Yeah. So he just comes over to my place and we, like, watch shows and he catches up on his online shopping and his what have you. And, like, you know, he has a smartphone. So it's not like he's internet free.
That's the thing.
And it used to be more of a big deal when you didn't have internet, when phones were slightly less smart and the internet as a whole was much less smart, because it was like, if you were trying to look up a website on your iPhone and it sucked.
Impossible, yeah.
It was not mobile friendly at all. Then there was no point in it and it felt like a total slog. But now that everything is so much more mobile optimized, big air quotes on that, and just like you can actually use the internet from your phone, I feel like the need to have internet at home is lessened, but not totally gone. Because if you want to, you know, if you want to write something in Microsoft Word and email it to yourself, then
if my
you're
roommate
screwed.
Moves or doesn't do what she does now, I would totally get rid of the internet in my home, because now I have a job, like I'm not working from home anymore.
Sure.
And I really don't think that it's helpful to my life. I would be so much more social and, like, so much more happy, I think, if I did not have internet in my home.
I did get a lot done, like, so.
Well, because you have no other option.
Yeah. Life-wise, in my life, I cleaned the apartment, like, 35 times. I got a bunch of work done. I read, like, 2 books. I mean, But
well,
cause
it's really, it's a lot
really
harder.
Enjoy it. Internet. I felt, I don't really like to admit this, but I felt slightly lost. Like, I was like, I don't know what to do with this time right now. And then I got it and everything got better.
Yeah. So if, like, worse came to worst, could you live without internet at home? Could you get by on your phone?
Well, having it on my phone.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing about
you
have a part-time job, right?
Yeah.
And you spend the other part of your time kind of like at home, doing stuff at home, going out, doing stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, like, that's a lot of time to go without internet. Like,
Well, because on the days that I'm not necessarily in work, I'll work from home. So, it's like, then I'm doing that whole coffee shop thing. So, I don't know. Could you live without internet, Alex?
I've never tried. I probably couldn't.
Been plugged in your whole life,
I have
Alex?
I just... But I also grew up with dial-up until a really late age, so the whole internet at your command thing is still kind of new to me. I'm still enjoying it.
That's cool.
Yeah. Let's see. The closest thing that ever happened to me was when I moved into my house that I bought last August, and immediately, the second day I owned this home, my family showed up because it needed to be renovated, and we ripped everything out of the house. Like, we tore apart the house. Dust everywhere, construction debris, whatever. I was living in one bed, all of my possessions in one bedroom. I was sleeping on my mattress on the floor, and I had my, like, computer on the floor next to my bed. So I would sit there and, like, try to watch shows on Netflix. And I was like, you know what? This is more sad than it is entertaining for me right now. So I kind of willfully moved away from the internet, because I just physically, it was a disgusting thing to be doing, to just sit on your bed sadly in your dirty home that is sad and look at sad internet sites.
It can be really isolating. Like, my roommate and I, since we got internet, really haven't had a conversation. But before, we would have these really long chats on our couch because we were each other's entertainment.
And now, about that too, is I would get home from work every day and my roomie and I would talk for literal hours. Because, like, we had nothing else to do.
Right.
Sure. At the time I was living alone, so it was like, it was my other person, you know? I have a roommate now.
We've talked about having relationships with your Netflix. So that was your relationship?
Oh, like long time ago.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, see,
yeah,
that
was back. That was in the depths of like living alone in a hellhole of a house with only my computer for company. Because it was like I couldn't have visitors because it was torn apart and gross and there was no furniture. So
sounds nice.
It was an interesting life experiment. Don't know if I would do it again.
Cool.
I'm happy to pay for the internet and have it now and be able to, you know, play my video games.
So even if, because I think what I've now convinced myself of is to not have internet anymore. Like I'm going to try to get my roommate to be on board with this no internet. So even if Tess and I both argued against internet, because I think we could, because even though you're really relieved to have internet right now, you've also said a lot of great things about not having internet. There are a lot of great things about not having internet.
I feel pushed and pulled at the same time.
It's kind of like if you deal with a crazy snowstorm and you kind of have that like cool veteran mentality of like, I survived it, I could do it again.
Sure.
Or like you go on a really like a camping trip and it rains all week and it was bad, but you still have that fun memory of it where you're like, I am tougher than I thought I was. I think, do you feel a little bit that way?
Like I came out of something?
Yeah. Like you, it wasn't the ideal circumstance,
yeah,
but you did it and you accomplished it.
Yes. I feel like I like myself a little bit more. Like I got a little bit more acquainted with my thoughts and, you know, cause there's nothing to distract you from your own thoughts.
I just thought of when you were talking about that. My life could be the same as it was when I didn't have internet. It could be exactly the same. It's not because I choose for it to not be. Mm-hmm. I choose to go home and watch Netflix.
Yeah.
So I think it's like a willpower thing, because I think the Facebook thing has also a willpower thing of like, well, Facebook is a depressing thing in your life because you let it be depressing. You see those pictures of everybody who you think is quote unquote like better than you.
Or like you just let it waste
depressed.
Your time. You
right,
know?
Exactly. Like you let it be a sad thing in your life where instead of seeing it as like a resource.
Yeah.
Right?
I have no will. I would just watch
Netflix. I have no willpower. Yeah.
Yeah. The second I got internet, literally the CenturyLink dude walked out the door and I was like, Netflix. Yeah. And my roommate and I just like sat on the couch in our gym jam still and watched Netflix for 8 hours.
Nice.
It was great.
See, recently, total millennial freeloader here. For the longest time, I was piggybacking off my parents' HBO Go account. And then one weekend I went home, like it kind of stopped working. And I wasn't too worried about it. I wasn't really watching anything at the time. And I went home one weekend and I was flipping through their satellite and all the HBO channels were grayed out. And I was like, did you guys get rid of HBO perchance? And my mom was like, yeah, we never watch it. Like we stopped that like last weekend.
But
and
I do, parents.
I know. And I said, I was like, but mom, are you there for HBO Go? You need to get back, you know, not being really bratty about it. But she was like, oh, sorry. Well, too late. I went home a couple weekends ago and lo and behold, HBO was back and she was like, yeah, we just needed it to watch like blah, blah, blah. But we had it for a year now. So like blah, blah, blah. So I immediately like drove back up to my house, threw the door open, I'm exaggerating, but essentially one of the first things I did was re-download HBO Go and start watching all these shows that I had missed. Mm-hmm. Kind of the same thing as living without internet, you know? Yeah. It's like that first second you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
You want to already be caught up.
It's like a drug.
Like more drug references.
Yeah.
It's like
it's
crack,
totally
man.
A drug.
Yeah. Or like nicotine.
Yeah. People just gotta get it.
Yeah. I mean, I could make a comparison. You living without internet was probably like me quitting smoking. It was like, it sucked.
Go.
But once you got through it, it was like, all right.
It was nice.
I do have willpower.
It was nice. Yeah.
It's just the habit of it. Gotta let the habit go. We could do it. We could do it again.
We could totally do it. Yeah.
I'm never gonna, but
I'm
I could.
Not gonna try.
Man, I'm gonna go into this next week and not Netflix.
Yeah.
But not including tonight.
Always start tomorrow. Yeah.